What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Tomorrow, live in Cape May. That's right. We are on our way to Cape May, and it's going to be our last live show of the summer. I want to see you there, so join us for that. It's going to be a blast. So come out and see us in Cape May, Grand Hotel Cape May. I want to see you there. Okay, tomorrow, 3 to 7 p.m. You don't need a ticket. You don't need a reservation. Just come to the show and join us, and we'll have a great time. Okay? The other thing is in Jersey, parents can now be arrested in one Jersey Shore town if their kids are rowdy. So I'll tell you about that as well. And the president also mentioned Jack Chitarelli today in the Oval Office. He said, we got a great candidate running, and we got to get rid of these windmills, these wind turbines. We'll talk to Daniel Turner a little bit later about that on the show. And DNI Director Tulsi Gabbard released more documents related to the Russia hoax. Brooke Singman from Fox News, who's been all over the story, she reported on a lot of that. She will join us a little bit later in the show today. So we got a big show for you. We're loaded up and firing on all cylinders today. And get out your pacifiers, lefties, because, oh, that's a thing now. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a whole trend where people are adults are using pacifiers to cope. Yes, they are using pacifiers to cope because they can't handle things under Trump. This is the ultimate TDS. So now you actually have orthodontists and dentists out there who are warning people, you really shouldn't do this. There's a reason why they're made for babies and not for adults. And you're going to wind up hurting your bite, your jawline, and creating lots and lots of problems for yourself. But I think if you're an adult and you're sucking on a pacifier, you got bigger problems than worrying about your smile because you probably never smile. You're probably so freaking miserable all the time that you don't smile. Let's be honest. So there's that. Which reminds me that the big story of the hour is brought to you by a great dentist who can fix your smile, even if you ruin it by sucking on a pacifier. And that's Dr. Mike Venaria. Dr. Mike is a dentist that other dentists and doctors go to because the level of care and excellence is just that incredible. So schedule your free dental implant consultation today at 856-786-2020 or visit venariadental.com. I was supposed to do a Fox hit today, but I got bumped for the president who gave an Oval Office address. That's okay. That happens. I'm all right with it. I'll live. We have a lot of audio for you from that today. And, you know, the whole thing about crime and what's going on in D.C., look, here's what I have to say on that issue. And it's this. It goes like this. Democrats are making a huge mistake, a huge political mistake. Even Joe Scarborough this morning on Morning Joe had to point out the fact that the neighborhoods that are impacted by crime the most are black neighborhoods. And what you have is, again, mostly privileged white liberals who are the ones out there yelling and screaming about what Trump is doing in D.C. amidst this federal takeover. Let's understand a couple things here about D.C., all right? Number one, D.C. is not a state. It is a creature of the federal government. And it was not until the 1970s when President Richard Nixon signed the bill into law creating the D.C. Home Rule Charter that gave D.C. a semblance of autonomy and created a mayor and city council form of government, subject to the okay of Congress, meaning that even though D.C. gets to self-govern, Congress gets the final say-so on everything it's done in the District of Columbia. It is not a state. The founders did not want it to be a state for a reason. They were worried that if it was a state, it would have undue influence on the federal government. they're worried it would tip the balance of power. Remember, the states created the federal government, not the other way around. But the federal government created the District of Columbia. They sat down in a room and they said, we'll take this part of Maryland and this part of Virginia, and we will make it the District of Columbia, and we'll make it a federal jurisdiction. Therefore, we don't have to worry about any issues with one state claiming favoritism over another, over things that, you know, they couldn't even imagine back then that the federal government would be involved in. Because I'm sure the framers of the Constitution never imagined that we'd be building roads and bridges and all these other things. But beside that point, that's the way it is. 1970s come along and Nixon signs the Home Rule Charter Act, but ultimately it gives Congress the final say on everything. And it and Congress, even a few years ago, was passing this wacky criminal justice reform bill that even Mayor Bowser opposed, and the Republicans were able to kill in Congress. So Congress still basically runs D.C. in a large degree, and they're able to give and take as they want. The president is invoking now powers under this Home Rule Charter that he has for 30 days, and Congress can extend it beyond 30 days. And they should, because you're not going to be able to do much in 30 days. The president mentioned that, and he also said, I could also declare a national emergency. Now, I would rather he not do that. I would rather Congress just use the power they have and extend it beyond 30 days, because you have Republican control in the House, Republican control in the Senate. We should be very careful about using these presidential emergencies, because when the left does it and we complain about it, when the left declares a national emergency on, say, climate change, we don't want to be accused of hypocrisy. So what's one emergency? An emergency for us is different from an emergency for them, and vice versa. So if Congress can go ahead and do it, then Congress should do it. And yeah, definitely extend it beyond 30 days. And then while we're at it, Congress should revoke some of the laws passed by the D.C. City Council that protect juveniles from any sort of punishment whatsoever. Because as it stands right now, you can't touch these kids. No matter what they do, you can't touch them. I mentioned the other day when I was on America's Newsroom on Fox News, shameless plug, I was on there on Tuesday. You might have seen it. If not, I posted the clip to social media. There's this clip going around of Joe Biden talking about it. It's back in 1992 when he was a senator, how his staff would tell him to basically run red lights in the middle of the night to avoid getting carjacked, or slow down in the middle of the block to try to time the lights so he could get through them. But really what he was saying was, you run the red lights. You don't stop at red lights. And they didn't have red light cameras back then, so nobody cared. Nobody, you didn't have to worry about getting a ticket in the mail. Now there's red light cameras everywhere in D.C. and a lot of other blue places, but not in Jersey, thank God. One good thing Chris Christie did was he killed that red light camera experiment. So there's no red light cameras in New Jersey, thank God. But yeah, Biden was saying that's how bad carjacking was. That was then. And Democrats at one point were very, very tough on crime. So even on Morning Joe this morning, you had the gang sit there talking about how it is such bad political policy strategy for the Democrats to be against cracking down on crime, and then throwing out the murder rate and the crime rate as some sort of a, hey, it's not really happening. And again, what I said Tuesday morning was, the people that live in the neighborhoods that are affected by crime, they don't care what the data and the statistics say. They see it with their own eyes. They don't feel safe, and they're not safe. So it doesn't matter what the data and the statistics say. They just don't care. Because when they open up their door and they see drug dealers on the streets, or they hear gunshots and you know, kids are getting killed in the crossfire and cars are getting jacked, and then you get some elitist on television going on about, wow, that's according to the data. And we know the data is manipulated. We know the police chief got fired for manipulating the data. And we also know that there's a problem because you can't arrest juveniles to begin with. So a lot of that crime data is not being properly reported in the first place. So all that's happening. But the Democrats, once again, are doing what they always do, which is to blow it politically. The National Guard is not parading down the streets of D.C. and going up to people and invading their civil liberties. They're just there to have a presence so that the police can do their job. And the police are very happy to have the help. And even the mayor of D.C., because there's this article that I read today. in Semaphore and how Democrats are divided over this. But the mayor, to her credit, Muriel Bowser, even though she's trying to play this little game of being like, well, I don't agree with the federal takeover, but we're about 950 cops short. So if the ATF and the FBI and the DEA want to help out, yeah, we'll take the help. And why the hell wouldn't you, considering that you don't have the money, you don't have the manpower, person power, people power. You don't have it. So you might as well take it. And she knows that. She's not dumb. She gets, I mean, she might be dumb, but she's at least smart enough to know that. Like, yeah, I'm not an idiot. If another government entity is going to help give me resources and pay for it, why would I say no? Really, why would I say no to that? What reasonable person would say no? Like, I don't want your help. I'd rather just do it all myself and take the money. Like, stop. The Democrats in Congress, however, it's a different story for them. Now, you've probably been to D.C. I mean, everybody's probably been to D.C. I used to live there. I've been to D.C. a million times. And you've got really nice neighborhoods. Georgetown, for example. Love Georgetown. Georgetown's great. Georgetown is probably, in my opinion, the nicest neighborhood in D.C. You walk around M Street, the shops of M Street, the restaurants. And then you've got Georgetown University's right there. Some of the great bars, the Tombs, which is the bar in St. Elmo's Fire. Of course, the opening shot of that movie is actually the University of Maryland, even though it's supposed to take place at Georgetown. But it's the fraternity row at University of Maryland. The bar, the Tombs, is where they shot St. Elmo's Fire. It's also where Bridget and I decided that we would adopt our first child over a beer in D.C. And we decided, you know what? I was down there doing a client thing. I was doing a political media training thing back in 2012 or something. And we said, you know what? Let's adopt. So the Tombs in Georgetown has a very special place in my heart for a lot of reasons. I went on a lot of dates there in college, and it's where my wife and I decided that we would adopt, which would ultimately lead, of course, to our son Patrick coming into our life, and the rest is history. But it's beautiful. Georgetown's great. It's also very expensive. And you've got these ridiculously expensive, beautiful brownstones and houses from the colonial era, and crime is not really a big factor in Georgetown. I mean, you know, it's a thing, but it's not like Anacostia. You know, there are neighborhoods in that city that the people in Georgetown don't go to. And the problem is, as usual, white elitist liberals who live in Georgetown and maybe even teach at Georgetown are the ones who wind up going, the crime is not bad. I've looked at the data and the statistics. I feel perfectly safe. Yeah, you do. In your $3 million brownstone, you feel perfectly safe. We get it. Totally get it. By the way, the Exorcist steps are in Georgetown, right next to a gas station. So if you ever want to see the Exorcist steps, you can walk up and down them. I've done that. That's fun, too. You can do that. And it's right. It's literally right by a gas station. So it's funny because you think you, in the mind, if you watch the movie, you know, you think imagine the priest falling down the stairs. You know, after he battles the devil, and then you look right over and there's a car getting gas, and you're like, they kind of did a really good shot with the camera angle of not showing that. But I digress. The point is that cool neighborhood. There's lots of great neighborhoods in D.C., and there's a lot of really blank ones. Some back in the day in the Capitol Hill area, which were dangerous, have now gentrified, but there's still bad neighborhoods. But the people that are on TV who go on there and opine about how it's not that bad. We're all making it up. The numbers are not that bad. They are the ones, I promise you, they are the ones who don't have to worry about this at night. And even Morning Joe had to acknowledge that this morning on their show. Here is Morning Joe saying all this. This is cut number 6 from this morning's MSNBC. I know you hate hearing this stuff, but it really backs up everything we've been saying. You know what I mean? So it's worth taking a listen to. It really is. Cut 6.
The answer to this problem for Democrats is not, oh, everything's okay. There's nothing to see right here. move along. Oh, Washington has dropped 24% or whatever in crime. Well, let me give you some other numbers. The Washington Post took a poll in late April, early May. 91% of Washington residents say crime is a problem. 91%. 51%, it is an extremely serious problem. And John Heilman, we've had people before put this in racial terms. And this is what I must say, this is one thing that I think Democrats have gotten so wrong about crime. Let me just read the Washington Post here. There are stark divides among lines of race and income in the poll, with black residents and lower income residents significantly more worried about crime than white residents and those with higher incomes. As they were last year, black women are among the most concerned, with 65% saying crime is a very or extremely serious issue, compared with 82% who said the same thing last year.
See that? Why are black moms worried? Because they have kids. Kids who are being recruited by gangs. Kids who are dying in the crossfire. And again, the Democrat Party, like I said Tuesday morning, sounds like the elitist party that's out of touch with the people in these neighborhoods. Because they're the party of the white elitist liberals. Let's be honest. That's the last demographic the Democrat Party has. College-educated white liberals. That's the last stop for them. That's it. And so when you've got these members of Congress out there pontificating about how the data and the statistics, and then you got some black mom in Anacostia who is a single mom whose husband might be in jail and whose kid might be in a gang or gangs trying to recruit her kid. She doesn't give a damn what the statistics and the data say. She knows. She knows what the problem's like. You know, and there's a problem in the black community with fathers and single fathers because you have a high incarceration rate. So a lot of these kids don't have male role models, and the male role models become gang members. But to a college-educated white liberal living in Georgetown in a $3 million a year brownstone, that's not something they can comprehend. And it's never something they have to worry about as their kids go off to a $60,000 a year private school for preschool, for not even a $60,000 a year high school, a $60,000 a year preschool that is competitive to get into. They don't have to worry about that stuff. So when Donald Trump, the president, sends in resources to support D.C., what he's really doing is sending in resources to support the communities that are under siege, who happen to be black and brown, as the left always says. And the people that are screaming about this are white. I mean, think about it. You break it down in the racial lines and it comes down to that. Or, you know, black, like Eddie Gloud and these other people who are on TV who are rich and live in, they don't live in the hood. They're not worried about the problem. When Bill Clinton did this in the 90s, when Bill Clinton sent in the feds to go after the Bloods and the Crips, people cheered it on. They were like, thank you, because they're terrorizing mostly black communities. You didn't hear any outrage from the left. You didn't hear any outrage from Democrats saying this is an overreach. That was Los Angeles. He didn't even have any power to do it. But the L.A. and California didn't try to stop him. They welcomed the help. They said, yeah, we have a gang problem. It's out of control. So thank you. We'll take it. The city of Compton was like, yes, bring it. You didn't hear this outrage. But you do now. You do now, because this is the Democrat Party today. It's made up of a bunch of elite white liberals who live in data and statistics and have their noses buried in books and have their noses buried in what the statisticians tell us about the root causes of, like, and nobody cares. They just want it stopped. And this is why it's like setting them up for a trap. I mean, here you've got another clip. This is MSNBC. Chris Matthews and Mika Brzezinski kind of realize they might have been rope-a-doped here by Trump a little bit. This is cut number five, again from MSNBC, from this morning. Take a listen.
And the murder rate. You can't keep saying violent crime is down, but the murder rate's up. To the average person, the murder rate's about life and death. You don't brag about a rising murder rate. And the Democrats are, I agree with you, Mika, they're falling into the trap of defending what's indefensible.
It's a trap. Yes, it's a trap. I mean, if it's not a winner politically to say, oh, you're wrong, look at the data. Because, you know, if one violent crime happens in a very heavily populated part of the city, people hear about it and it's visceral. They don't want it. And they want to, they'll gravitate to the person who appears to be doing something about it.
And that person is Donald J. Trump. Totally within the law, totally within the powers of the federal government, totally within the powers that the federal government gave D.C., and totally within the powers that the federal government can revoke from D.C. anytime it wants to under the Home Rule Charter. That's the bottom line. That's the truth and reality of the situation. All right. As we continue, we got a lot. The big Trump-Putin summit in Alaska is happening tomorrow, and the president was asked about that in the Oval Office today. We'll talk about that, too. Larry Krasner, the district attorney of Philadelphia, whining on national television. We'll tell you what he was whining about. So a lot to get to tomorrow, Cape May. I'm told a room just opened up. So if you're thinking about staying over, now's your time to do it because they were sold out. But I think they had a cancellation. So go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Either way, we'll see you tomorrow for our last live show of the summer. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's a big day today. It's Justin's birthday. Happy birthday, Justin.
Thank you so much.
We're very happy for you and your fake girlfriend, and you're going down to Florida to see her, right?
Correct. Flight leaves 1:30 on Saturday.
Good. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you in Cape May tomorrow.
Always look forward to going down to Cape May, seeing all the Zioli Army in person. Wonderful people.
Absolutely. We'll have a good show tomorrow, and people can wish you a happy birthday in person.
That would be nice, especially I heard Road Warrior is going to be in attendance, so I'm expecting a happy birthday from him.
He's just not allowed to come within 50 feet of me. That's the only thing.
I'll stand on the other side of the ballroom so he doesn't break that clause.
Yeah, that would be good. And Paula Scanlon will be in person. She's joining us. Chairman Mike Donahue will be in person. He'll be joining us. And Dr. Victoria Coates will be in person joining us tomorrow. So got some really great guests coming and hanging out with us tomorrow. So that'll be a lot of fun. And, of course, the best part of the show is you coming to join us. So make sure you join us tomorrow, 3 to 7 p.m. at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So the president took some questions in the Oval Office today. He was talking about Social Security reform. Let's cue up cut 30. He was talking about Social Security reform and talking about how the new administrator is kicking people off of Social Security who don't belong there, and illegal immigrants who don't belong there, also kicking off people who are ripping off Social Security. And he was asked about how Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are out there saying that he's destroying Social Security and destroying Medicaid and destroying Medicare. This was his answer to that. Take a listen.
It's so vicious what they do. Elizabeth Warren said she was an Indian. We call her Pocahontas. She's a liar. She lied her whole career based on the fact that she was an Indian. She was able to get into certain colleges, get certain jobs, get into certain universities to work there. She's a liar and a mean person. She's a nut job. I watched her the other night. She's all hopped up endorsing a communist in New York City. And she was all excited and jumping up and down. She's got to take a drug test. She really does. She's got to take a drug test. There's no way somebody can act that way and be normal. What she's done to our financial institutions, she destroys people. Do you know that you had a lot of great banks in the Midwest and banks that loaned to farmers and others, and they went out of business? She put them out of business. Stone cold mean. Banks that were open 150 years, family banks that supplied the farmers and manufacturers and others, and she put them out of business. She's a mean, horrible human being.
She's a mean, horrible human being. Pocahontas. That was fun. Look, he would go on to say that she also is endorsing that communist Mandami, you know, Zoran. And he went also went on to talk about how Elizabeth Warren is somebody who's backing, and Bernie Sanders. He said, you know, Bernie is Bernie. Like, I get it. You know, Bernie's Bernie, and that's how that goes. But Bernie Sanders is also crazy, but at least he isn't, like, as nasty. So I think Trump deep down feels bad for Bernie because the party stopped him from becoming president so many times. And they really did. I mean, the last time the Democrats picked their nominee for president, I mean, Democrat voters, was Barack Obama. That's it. That was the last time. 2016 was fixed for Hillary. 2020 was fixed for Biden. And 2024 was fixed for Kamala Harris. And I think deep down Trump feels bad for Bernie because the party stopped him. But I mean, he thinks Bernie's obviously crazy, but, you know. Meeting with President Putin. This is coming up. Big meeting tomorrow in Anchorage, Alaska. We would go. Actually, we would do the show from there, but we'll be in Cape May doing the show. And the president was asked about the meeting with Putin. This is Cut 31.
We have a meeting with President Putin tomorrow. I think it's going to be a good meeting, but the more important meeting will be the second meeting that we're having. We're going to have a meeting with President Putin, President Zelensky, myself, and maybe we'll bring some of the European leaders along, maybe not. I don't know that it's going to be very important. We're going to see what happens. And I think President Putin will make peace. I think President Zelensky will make peace. We'll see if they can get along. And if they can, it'll be great. You know, I've solved 6 wars in the last 6 months, a little more than 6 months now. And I'm very proud of it. I thought the easiest one would be this one. It's actually the most difficult we have.
Oh, see that? Wow. You see that? Look at that. Okay. So, there you go. I think this meeting's going to be good. I think this meeting is going to be productive. I really do. And he was also asked about, because I guess the media is spinning this like this is a win for Putin that he's coming to Alaska. And the president was like, I don't think that's a win for him. He's coming to us. I mean, look, I don't think it's a loss for Putin that he's coming to America. It's just funny how the media is spinning it into it's a win for Putin that he's coming to Alaska. Because he's what? Because he's getting a free trip to Alaska? Like, I don't really get that. But if you're saying you got to, because you're meeting on my turf, and typically whoever goes to the other turf, the person whose turf it is considered to have the upper hand. Typically speaking. Now there's also the classic situation of when somebody says, you know, the meeting will be on my turf. I'll provide security, and you know it's Sal from Godfather 2, and, you know, he's going to whack Mike, but, you know, there's that too. But typically, if a meeting between two adversaries is taking place, whoever hosts the meeting, whoever is considered to be their turf, typically it's considered to be the upper hand. I think everybody knows that. That's why a lot of times they meet in neutral locations. It's also called home field advantage in sports. You know, I'm not a big sports guy, but tend to have that advantage. Now, in this case, it's not necessarily that you have cheering fans, but it's a psychological thing. It's like when the visiting team travels and then they're a little tired. And then, I mean, Russia and Alaska, it's not that far. What was the joke from Saturday Night Live that could see Russia from her house?
Sarah Palin, yeah.
Sarah Palin, yeah. That's still a very funny joke. But it's not like it's more about the psychological. Like, you're coming to me and you're coming to us, you know? We got home field advantage over you. It's kind of like that, you know? From that perspective, it's like that. And the president went on to say a number of other things, too, regarding this potential meeting. And I'm psyched that we'll have Dr. Coates on tomorrow because we'll have a nice chat with her about this. Will Russia face any questions if Putin does not agree to stop the war after your meeting? This is cut 14, Justin. Take a listen.
Will Russia face any consequences if Vladimir Putin does not agree to stop the war after your meeting on Friday?
Yes, they will. Yeah.
What will the consequences be?
There will be consequences.
Sanctions, tariffs?
There will be, I don't have to say, there will be very severe consequences, yes.
There'll be very severe consequences, yes. Okay? The president went on to say, I'm more interested in an immediate peace deal. I want peace. He talked to Brian Kilmeade about this. Our very own Brian Kilmeade, our buddy, who sent me a nice note the other day. As a matter of fact, cut 15.
You know, I don't know that we're going to get an immediate ceasefire, but I think it's going to come. See, I'm more interested in immediate peace deal, getting peace fast. And depending on what happens with my meeting, I'm going to be calling up President Zelensky and let's get him over to wherever we're going to meet. I don't know where we're going to have the second meeting, but we have an idea of three different locations. And will be, including the possibility, because it would be by far the easiest, of staying in Alaska. You know, we have big flights of, and he has the same thing. We have a lot of planes going when the head of Russia, the head of the United States, you know, et cetera, go.
So, Mr. President, did you tell Zelensky to be ready? Did you tell him to be ready to come should you start making legitimate progress?
I don't want to talk about a second meeting even to him. I don't want to even indicate there might be a second meeting. Maybe there will, maybe there won't. So I don't want to talk that. It's not,
okay.
It's not important enough. But it would be certainly convenient if we had a very good meeting, because I'm going to let them negotiate their deal. I'm not going to negotiate the deal. I'm going to let them negotiate their deal.
See that? We're going to let them negotiate the deal. Well, that's the key right there, right? I mean, that's the key, is they need to negotiate the deal, and they're the ones who have to come up with the peace. But he just wants, I mean, the president just wants this war to be over, and I don't blame him. Do you? I don't blame him. I mean, enough is enough. Enough is enough. It has to end. It has to end. So he also said that this is going to be the second meeting. Cut 16 in his conversation with Brian Kilmeade. Take a listen.
This meeting sets up the second meeting. The second meeting is going to be very, very important, because that's going to be a meeting where they make a deal. And I don't want to use the word divvy things up, but, you know, to a certain extent, it's not a bad term, okay? But there will be a give and take as to boundaries, lands, et cetera, et cetera. The second meeting is going to be very, very important. This meeting sets up, it's like a chess game. This meeting sets up the second meeting. But there is a 25% chance that this meeting will not be a successful meeting, in which case I will run the country, and we have made America great again already in 6 months.
And you'll hit them with consequences, right? You'll hit them with more sanctions. The Senate sanctions go front and center if he disrespects. Yeah?
Oh, sure. If it's not solved. Look, again, we didn't lose any soldiers. We didn't lose anybody. But this was a war. If I didn't get in here, this could have been World War III, I'm telling you. Biden had no idea. He had no clue what was happening. This was getting so bad. And at a minimum, I've calmed it way down.
So
I think you'd agree with that. Way, way down. But they're still losing thousands of soldiers a week. And we have to we have to get that taken care of.
Yes, we do. No doubt about it. All right. Tomorrow in Cape May, yes, they have one room left. So if you want to stay over, I would go and make the reservation right now. Now, I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to jinx it, though. Should I jinx it? Am I going to jinx it?
I don't know.
Should I not say what could happen tomorrow after the show?
I say say it.
You go for it.
You've teased it.
Feel a little dangerous.
All right. So I just got asked. Well, I got asked the other day, but can I do Laura Ingraham's show tomorrow night? And I said yes. I'd have to be remote. And they said no problem. And then the booker just asked me if I could do 7 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night because they're doing joint special coverage from 7 to 9. Said, are you available to stay through 9 p.m.? And I said, oh, sure. And she said, awesome. Which means then they'll send the studio van to the Grand Hotel. So then after the show ends, run down there. I'll jump into the van. I can't drink. Dude, this is why I cannot drink during the show tomorrow. So don't bring me alcohol during the show. Please.
Don't say that. Now everyone's going to bring you alcohol.
No, I know. They do. And then I can't do it. I can't. This is what happens. People start bringing me drinks, and I can't do it. I can't go on the air half-crocked and have an intellectual conversation about Trump and Putin. So, can't do it.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can I go into the van?
No. Any other questions? Any other questions?
I can't say I'm shocked by your response, but I figured I'd ask. What the heck? I had nothing to lose.
And again, I want to remind everybody not to rock the van, okay? Don't come knocking when the van is not rocking, all right? Don't pound on the van. Don't do anything stupid. Don't slash the tires of the van. Just pretend it's not there. I shouldn't have even said anything. Just pretend like the van is not there.
That van's
all right?
Getting tipped. It's 1,000% getting tipped.
We're just in the middle of me making a cogent point, if that's even possible, about the Trump-Putin meeting, and then, boom, right over the side. Now, they're going to ask for talking points. You're going to have to write them for me, DeSantis, during the show, because I'll be doing the show, and you're going to have to write them, and then send them to me, and then I'll have to send them to Fox.
Oh, man, so. I got even more to do.
Yes, you do. Yeah. But now that I just said it, it probably won't happen. But, you know, be cool if it does. So there we go. All right. We'll take a quick break. We're loaded up today. So much to get to. Brooke Singman is going to join us. And the declassified emails by Tulsi Gabbard. James Clapper, this scumbag, allegedly pushed a compromise, normal steps to rush the 2017 intelligence community assessment, despite concerns from the NSA director. This is a big deal. So we're going to talk about that with her as the show goes on today. But listen, when it comes to your home, protection, peace of mind, and craftsmanship are paramount. That's why Emmons is my go-to contractor for roofing, siding, and windows. They even have a new bathroom division. Kitchen and bathroom remodeling. Emmons will not only make your home great again, it will be stunning from the curb and will be energy efficient, secure, and ready to withstand the elements. With Emmons, you know you're getting top quality materials and the finest craftsmanship in the area. American-made roofing products, the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business by far. And that durable, lifetime-warranted Owens Corning roof that stands up to severe weather, siding that keeps your home insulated and looking sharp, and new windows that blend functionality with style. Emmons has you covered. Don't wait. Call Emmons today at 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677. Or check out their website at emmonsroofing.com. Upgrade your home with confidence today with Emmons Roofing and Siding. Make sure you tell them I sent you. And go with the company that I've trusted for 12 years in 2 different homes. They remodeled the kitchen and bathroom in my old home. They did such a fantastic job. I love the work they did. In their new home, they've replaced some doors, skylights, and more work is on the way. In fact, they have to fix a window for me because they have a cracked pane in one of the – they didn't install the windows. Came with the house, but they're going to repair it for me. That's just the great work they do. Now's the time to get that free roof inspection. The great team at Emmons. They're not just in the community. They're part of the community. And they give back every year. They give back to the Travis Manning Foundation, helping our veterans, helping our first responders. That's the team at Emmons, emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I'm serious. Do not bring me an alcoholic beverage tomorrow during the show. Do not. Don't. Don't. Do not. At the Grand Hotel. Because if I got to do 2 hours on Fox, I can't do it. I can't. First of all, I don't have the tolerance anymore. Now that I've lost a few pounds, I don't have the tolerance. Like one beer and I'm, you know what I mean? That's number one. I can't go on there and start slurring, and my nose will get all red. I'll look like Rudolph. It'll be beaming. There's no makeup artist. Oh, my God, I just realized that. I'm going to need somebody to do my makeup tomorrow during the show. Somebody's going to have to do my makeup tomorrow who knows how to do makeup during the show. That's the other thing. And then at some point, we're going to have to figure out the timing of all this. We got to figure this out, Matt, because I'm going to have to wear a jacket. I'm going to have to wear a jacket and tie or change. Somebody's got to do my makeup.
Well,
I don't know what I'm doing. And then also, we got to figure out the pictures. We got to take pictures with everybody. We may have to do it outside the van. We have to run down and do the pictures outside the van. I don't know. It depends on what time they need me on air.
Well, I'm already doing talking points, so it looks like Justin will be handling makeup.
What are you throwing that on me for?
I need a woman. Justin. I don't want his hands going near my face. I need a woman in the Zioli army who knows what she's doing to do my makeup tomorrow.
Kimmy and Suze are down at the Grand Hotel, so maybe they'll be able to.
Okay, that's fine. It's fine. As long as you can make this face look TV ready, which is not an easy task. That's not easy to do. Typically, I'm in the makeup chair for 2 to 3 hours. When I go up to New York,
it seems a bit much.
So, you know, we don't have that kind of time. It's all going to be very rushed. But if you bring me an alcoholic beverage, you're not my friend tomorrow. That's just the bottom line. It's not helpful. So we're just going to have to do water and Hunter Biden's cocaine. That's it. All right. That's it.
Keep you energized and alert. That's for sure.
Well, you know, I've been doing those Zip Fizzes. Have you ever tried those?
What is that? I have no idea what that even is.
Zip Fizz. It's a little thing in a thing, and you pour it into a drink, and it's loaded with all kinds of B vitamins and caffeine and probably, you know, who knows what. God only knows, but probably should be illegal. But I don't know. It makes you feel great, so. No, but I have an issue now where I stop breathing at night.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Is it from the Zip Fizz?
I don't think the Zip Fizz is causing that. No, this is an older issue. It's not sleep apnea because I don't have that. I don't have obstructive sleep apnea, but my brain, for some reason, because I had a migraine yesterday, and, you know, Opelka jumped in, and thank you to Mike for doing that. I've been getting more migraines lately, like really bad ones. And I had one when I was at Fox a couple weeks ago. And the lights, you know, I mean, just like pounding me. I went to the doctor yesterday, Dr. McGrath, who's an ENT doctor in Marlton. Great guy. He did Bridget's surgery on her nose. And I was talking to him about this because I was hoping I could get Botox for my migraines. But he said it wouldn't work for me because it you know, my migraines are all different parts of my brain, my head, you know. He said it could be the fact that because we did a sleep study, your brain is telling your lungs to stop breathing in the middle of the night. Like, my brain is, like, trying to kill me, basically.
This segment took a dark turn.
I know. Well, that's what I said to him. I don't know. Explain this to me. He goes, it's not sleep apnea because it's not obstructive. There's no obstructive thing where, nothing like that. But something in my brain is, like, shutting off my breathing in the middle of the night, and then my heart starts racing really fast, and it basically like causes all this panic because I stop breathing.
Ouch.
And yeah, no, and he said you may need supplemental oxygen. And you know they have those old people that have the oxygen around their head?
Oh, you need that?
I may need that when I sleep. How hot is that for Bridget, huh?
I guess it's better than the sleep apnea mask, because you kind of look like a fighter jet pilot.
Yeah, I've tried that. I've tried that in the past. It does not work for me. I ripped it off in the middle of the night. I'm claustrophobic. I can't do it. Even the nasal pillow thing, I can't flip it off. You know what I mean?
I feel like you shouldn't be ripping the tubes out in the middle of the night. You should just keep sleeping with it.
I can't. I don't even know. It's not even conscious that I do it. I would just – when I was in mornings, I was trying the sleep apnea machine, and I would just – in the middle of the night, rip it off. I wouldn't even know. And then wake up in the morning, and then it was right by the bed. But I might need supplemental oxygen, which is just two little things to go under the nose and just breathe. And that's okay. He said, that won't bother me. But I'll be like one of those old guys that walks around with an oxygen tank everywhere he goes. But not during the day. I only need it when I sleep, you know? But, I mean, that is hot.
You should do your Fox News hit from the back of the van with the tubes.
With my supplemental oxygen on? Be amazing, right? So now we can add this to another long list of my ailments.
You've gone a while without a new one. I figured one was coming.
Yeah. So I called up Cooper, and they got me in with a pulmonologist, a specialist for Monday. And I called up Fox, and I said, hey, do you need me Monday morning? Because I got to go see the specialist about my breathing. And Jen, the booker for Newsroom, was like, well, we can work on Tuesday or Wednesday. Go deal with your breathing issues. You know what I mean? She's like, it's fine. And she probably is thinking, like, why do we book this guy on the show? What's wrong with us? So I got to go deal with that. But, my brain is basically trying to kill me. It's like AI. My brain is turning on myself and trying to snuff me out in the middle of the night. Crazy, right?
Yeah, that is wild. And again, I think a lot of people were under the suspicion that you'd have another medical ailment soon, and they speculate on social media all the time, but nobody had this on the bingo card.
No, I saw the bingo card yesterday that Brian posted again, and that was not on there. Brain-induced homicide was not on there.
I didn't see that.
All right, quick break, 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Brooke Singman is joining us this hour with explosive revelations on Russia hoax. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.